In Romans 3, we notice how man can become right with God. All men are sinners and in rebellion against God. But God has provided a way that man can become right with him through the Lord Jesus. And I want to read Romans 3, verses 21 to 24 once again. But now apart from the law, a righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ unto all them that believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. And here we have the provision of God. Men have failed. Men have sinned. Men are unable to help themselves. We were noticing this in our last lesson, the utter helplessness, the wickedness, the rebelliousness of man. But God, who is filled with love and with concern and compassion for man, has provided a way that the sinner can come back to him. And this is through the Lord Jesus. And of course, this is the gospel message, the good news, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave Christ to the death of the cross, and there on that cross the Lord Jesus agonized and paid for your sin and suffered for you in order that you might be right with God. What a wonderful message this is. And God now says, I'll pardon you, I'll forgive you your sin, I'll make you one of my children if you will turn from your sin and if you in simple faith will accept my Son, Jesus Christ. If you will believe that on the cross he died for your sin, and that I'm satisfied with this, that this is enough to take care of your sin, then I will forgive you. And so it's through faith in his blood. The sinner is just trusting what Christ has done. Now, we want to come on to the book of Romans chapter 6, and notice another truth, and this is a truth especially for Christians. I hope that you who are listening to me have accepted the Lord Jesus. I hope you can say, I know that I'm saved. I know that he's my Savior. I've trusted him. I know my sins are forgiven because Christ loved me and gave himself for me. He died for me. Now, if this is true, we read Romans 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. For he that has died is justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death no more hath dominion over him. For the death that he died unto sin once, but the life that he liveth unto God. Even so reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey the lust thereof, neither present your members unto sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves unto God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, if one is a Christian, if he knows his sins are all forgiven, if he's accepted Christ as his Savior, what should his attitude be toward sin? This is really what Romans 6 is taking up. What should our attitude be toward sin? Should we take a light attitude and say, well, my sins are all forgiven, so it doesn't matter how I live. It doesn't matter if I sin. In fact, perhaps the more I sin, perhaps the more glory God will have because he can forgive more sin. and his grace will be shown all the more. Now, Paul says, it's terrible to think this way. He says, God forbid, may it never be so that we take a light attitude towards sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, this is an abhorrent thought. This is a terrible thought. As a Christian, we can't think this. And now he begins to bring before us what our attitude should be towards sin. Toward this attitude of disbelief of God and a loving of those things that his laws clearly forbid, a turning away from the ways of God. What should our attitude be towards sin? First of all, he says, there are certain things you need to know. In verse 6, he says, knowing this. As a Christian, there's something you need to know. What happened at the cross? Well, he says, let's go back to the act of baptism. You remember when you were baptized as a Christian? You remember how you went down into the water, and the man who was baptizing you said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he put you under the water, and then he lifted you up, and you came up out of the water. You remember the act of baptism? He says you were baptized into Christ's death. You were telling people, I've accepted Jesus Christ, and his death on the cross was for my sin as my substitute. He took my place. And since he was my substitute, I'm acting out this identification with him. When he died on the cross, I died as far as God's concerned. All that I am by nature, this old man, all that I am, was nailed to that cross. This is what it deserved. It deserved death and judgment. And in the person of the Lord Jesus, my substitute, I went to the cross. This is a truth the scriptures bring out time and again. Paul could say in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Here is this truth of identification with the Lord Jesus. We need to know this, he says, that we're linked with Christ, that we're identified with Christ, that this old life of ours, what we are by nature, deserved death, and when the Lord Jesus hung on the cross as a substitute for the sinner who has accepted him, as far as God is concerned, was hanging there and was paying for his sin, was dying. So Paul says, I want you to know this. I want you to know that as far as God is concerned, all that you are by nature deserved to die, and in Christ did die. Knowing this, he says, that our old man was crucified with him. Now he goes on to say, this is the way God looks at it, and this is the fact of the matter. Now, how are you going to live day by day? Are you going to say, well, I'm just going to go back and live that old life? I'm going to go back into some of these old habits, these old attitudes, these old actions that I used to live in? The man who's had a problem with drink, is he going to say, well, now I'm just going to go back to my drunkenness? It doesn't matter. No, he says, listen, you died with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're to reckon this day by day. Notice verse 11, he says, even so reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. And this is something that has to take place day by day. This is a present tense. Day by day, I'm to think dead. As sin comes to trouble me, as some of my old temptations come back, as some of my old friends may come to tempt me and turn me away from what I know is right, I'm to think dead. I'm to remind myself the Lord Jesus on the cross died for me. As my substitute, he was taking my place, and I was linked with him, I was identified with him, and as far as God's concerned, that old life of mine is dead, it's no good, and I died with him. I'm to think dead. I'm to remind myself, as far as sin is concerned, I'm dead. Let me give an illustration. Here's a man who goes into the Navy, and he's married. He takes with him a picture of his wife and of his children. And from time to time, while he's aboard ship, he looks at that picture and he reminds himself of the love that he has for his wife and her love for him. They receive letters, they write back and forth. Now the time comes when he goes ashore. He goes ashore on a Liberty. And there are other men around him, and they're talking about what they're going to do. They're talking about the drinking they're going to do. They're talking about the women they're going to try to get. They're just talking about the kind of life they're going to live while they're ashore and looking forward to it. They're really going to have a big time. But here's the man who looks at the picture of his wife, and as he goes ashore, he says, I love you. He reminds himself of his love for his wife. He reminds himself that he's married. He reminds himself of this relationship. And then as he goes ashore, and there are these temptations, and his buddies are encouraging him to do this or do that, he's constantly thinking, no, I'm married. I can't do that. I'm married. No, I can't go with you here. I'm married. I can't look at this woman. I can't have anything to do with this woman. I'm married. He thinks married. And the Christian needs to think that he's dead, dead to sin. Constantly remind himself, I died with the Lord Jesus. I'm not to give in to sin. I'm not to entertain these thoughts. I died with the Lord Jesus. Think dead. And as we do this, as we think of the cross, and as we think of the fact that we died with him, we'll find that these desires, these wrong thoughts, pride, envy, jealousy, lust, passion, anger, temper, whatever it may be, these things will shrivel up and will die within us as we stand in the shadow of the cross and think of the Lord Jesus dying there for us. So he says, think dead. Reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin. But then he goes on to say this, present yourselves unto God. There's a positive side. Don't just go around thinking that you're dead and have just a negative attitude toward life. The positive side is, he says, you come to God and you give yourself to him. You give yourself to him. You say, Lord Jesus, you loved me. You died for me. You shed your blood for me. Here I am. I love you. I want my life to count for you. I want my body. I want everything that I have to be yours. Here, Lord Jesus. Here I am. I'm giving myself to you. In Romans 12, he brings this out when he speaks of the fact that we should present our bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable to God. And in the Old Testament, time and again, offerings were made, and the man came and stood by the altar, and he put his lamb on that altar, and it was given to God. It was all for God. The burnt offering, all being given to God. And as he placed it there, he took his hands off it and he said, oh God, it's all yours. Christian, have you done this with your life? Oh, that you would do this, that you would present yourselves to him completely.